only a test 100 for Joe Root, becoming the ninth batsman to score 100 in his 100th test. The only batsman to score hundreds in his 98th, 99th, and 100th test. And let me tell you, he'll have his eye locked on for a big one. Hello and welcome to Hotspot Daily with me, Chetan Narula. And I'm joined in from London for an English perspective, of course, is Daniel Norcross. How are you doing, Daniel? How was waking up at 4 a.m. in the morning? Or was it 3:30 a.m.? Because we've done it for a while India were in Australia.
Well, I've sort of got used to it a little bit because of the Sri Lanka series, which is a similar time zone. But nonetheless, when that alarm goes, it's difficult. The good thing about it today is just the excitement. I mean, you're waking up with the excitement of the first day of a new series. And today didn't disappoint, did it? You got it absolutely spot on yesterday. You said, when I asked you about the pitch in our preview yesterday, I said, there's talk of it being a bit green, a bit of grass to help the quicker bowlers. You said, Daniel, it's Chennai. In the time it takes to do the toss and get out onto the pitch, that grass would have gone. And sure enough, I mean, what a toss to win. You know, it's 50-50, but I bet you England's bowlers, and they did, I think, as we thought they would, go with the same basic template as they have done in Sri Lanka, which is one of Broad and Anderson, in this case Anderson, one quick out-and-out quick bowler, in this case Jofra Archer, and one seeming all-rounder, which is Ben Stokes, plus the two spinners. And I think all of those bowlers, for different reasons, gave up a little prayer of thanks to their gods, because that was the toss to win, wasn't it? It was a tough day in the field for India. But they're going to get the opportunity to bat on it at some stage. So I'm going to be interested. I'm going to ask you, I mean, you're an aficionado of these things out there in India. Is this pitch going to break up? Because if it does, then this next couple of days is going to be vital, I think, how many runs England can get and what India can post in reply, because this could be all about the deterioration on days 4 and 5.
It will break up to a certain extent. I'm not sure how much it will break up, because the purpose of the grass, while it is burnt and all dead already, they've had a funeral there of the grass on the pitch as well. I mean, it will break up, but it depends to what extent the grass is on the clay soil or on the first layer or the second layer to just hold it or bind it together. Also, we have to understand the second test will also be played not on the same pitch. Otherwise, that'll be a nightmare, because the ball is just, sometimes the ball is keeping low, but it's also spinning very, very slowly. There's just not much bounce in it. It'll be played on the same square, probably the adjacent pitch or the one next to it. I'm not sure which one, but with the sun baking for four or 5 days, this looks like a 5-day match now. The sun baking down, you would expect even the second test pitch would be something like this. So it's not just this test match you need to win the toss in. You also want to win the toss in the next test match. Rohit Sharma was shadow batting towards the end of the day, which was very interesting. He's not the only Indian batsman who is eager to get out there, but there's still a lot of work to do. Of course, Joe Root is still unbeaten, 128 not out of 197 balls, 263 for 3. But first of all, you mentioned the England lineup. I should talk about the Indian lineup, in fact. And talking about the teams, it was a bit of a surprise. Akshar Patel did not make it to the 11 because he complained of a knee pain last evening. So what do they do? They bring in Shahbaz Nadeem, who last played a test match against South Africa, which is fine, because he replaced Ravindra Jadeja earlier. So it only suits that he does so. But they also included Washington Sundar, who's only played the one first-class game or the one test match. The question here about is Kuldeep Yadav, who missed out altogether, which is something that Indian cricket fans or the Indian cricket fraternity is not able to digest, because he's been talked up as, you know, a fine bowler in his own right. He's not had the best of 2020. Nobody had the best of 2020, but he's had a horrendous 2020. He was dropped even from the first choice 11 at Kolkata Knight Riders. So you don't really know what he needs to do. And this will be a story that'll run for some time. But coming back to the cricket, that was a good start from England. Daniel, Rory Burns, Dom Sibley, 63 runs. Did you expect an English opening pair to score 63 runs throughout the series, let alone on the first day of the series?
Well, I didn't. And, you know, it's the first 50 partnership by an opening pair in India from outside India.
Yeah.
Since Renshaw and Warner, I think, in 2017. You know, India have been used to getting wickets early when their opponents have come to play. And it, you know, at that point, at 63 without loss, you've really started to wonder. I mean, but the loss of those two wickets before lunch, I mean, to make no bones about it, Rory Burns will be kicking himself. He'll be looking at what Dominic Sibley did, which was bat all the way through till, well, three balls left until the end of the day. And he'll be thinking, you know, that should have been me too. And then I've got to say, I feel a bit for Dan Lawrence. I'm not sure Dan Lawrence should be at three so early on in his test career. It's a very difficult place to bat. And this is the power of really good pace bowling, isn't it? I mean, you look at someone like Jasprit Bumrah, it's why England have been picking Wood in Sri Lanka and been picking Jofra Archer for this series, because while we can fixate about the spin bowlers on Indian tracks and Sri Lankan tracks, a really good fast bowler bowling 90 miles an hour and straight before a batsman's got his feet working. I mean, poor old Dan Lawrence, he's seen runs fly around all over the place and he's got none of them, which won't do his mood much good. I thought it was a little bit of a surprise. I said to you yesterday, I thought they might put Stokes up at three because of his experience. And if not, then, you know, Ollie Pope is the man who's played more cricket for England, and he might have perhaps been expected instead of Dan Lawrence. I thought it was a big call to put him up there and tough on a young man. But at 63 for two, just before lunch, India would have been cock-a-hoop, and they really came at England hard in that first hour after lunch. It was incredibly difficult batting. What I thought was very noticeable, you know, was Joe Root put that sweep away. And he'd used it almost exclusively in Sri Lanka. He's one really aggressive shot, and he used it to such effect and was striking at around about 100 and not getting out and sweeping Embul Denia to distraction. Well, he didn't dare use it against Ashwin. It took his time, and they weathered the storm, really. That first hour after lunch, we started to see a little bit of uneven bounce. I thought the seamers came into it really well. They pressured Sibley and Root. The thing about playing on Indian pitches is if you weather that storm, you get the opportunity to cash in, because it doesn't matter how used you are to those conditions. You know, hot is hot. And being out in the field all day, a lot of these guys, they don't play as much first-class cricket as they did. So their cricket conditioning is a little bit more explosive, you might say. And for England, I mean, I think keeping Bumrah and Ishant Sharma out in the field all day to lose only three wickets, we've got to think in the context of a four-match series. A lot of it is about attrition, Chetan, and it's about trying to wear down your opponents. And we all know fast bowlers, they break down on both sides, not just Indian fast bowlers. And Bumrah and Ishant Sharma have got a history of injuries, so England will want to keep them out there for another day. I think they're going to order more of the same if they possibly can tomorrow. There's no urgency for them. They came into the series very much as underdogs. And so what they want to do is get a huge score, because every England fan has been saying and has reminded themselves, because we're a very pessimistic bunch in England. The last time England were in Chennai, they scored 477 and lost by an innings. So
that's a pretty interesting stat. I mean, that scars you for life, doesn't it? I mean, getting 400 and then losing by an innings, because the opponents have come in and scored in 700. And you know what? This is a similar pitch. There's just not happening anything happening there, which brings us very interesting to those two points that you made. Yes, it's going to be a battle of attrition, because India will be watchful of how they use Bumrah. Not so much Ishan, because he's not had a heavy winter because he was not in Australia, but Bumrah was there. He played all four tests, and Bumrah will have a lot of workload this year. India will be going to England. There's a T20 World Cup. India cannot win the T20 World Cup without Jasprit Bumrah. So you have to manage his workload. There's an IPL in between. There's a limited overs leg. So there's a lot of cricket coming up for Jasprit Bumrah. The other point you made was, of course, that 1 hour of play after the lunch session. Daniel Lawrence, well, again, he's the only one who's got duck for five balls. That already makes for a weird reading when you look at the scoreboard. But even Rory Burns, I was thinking, you sat there watching the entire Sri Lanka-England series and you saw how the Sri Lankan batsmen gifted their wickets away. What needs to break in your brain to play a shot like that and gift your wicket away? But also, there was a chance of a run out just before lunch. So that passage of play, that 1.5 hour on either side of lunch, I thought India were on top, but only two wickets came out of it. India perhaps could have persisted with Ashwin a little longer in the second session, because as you mentioned, Root did not immediately bring out his sweep, and post the day's play, he was talking about how he was taking his time, digging his feet in before he, in the third session, he brought out the sweep shots and he played some really attractive strokes. He accelerated against Washington Sundar and Shahbaz Nadeem. I mean, Washington Sundar went for 4.5 runs and over. Nadeem went for 3.5 runs and over. Imagine Ravindra Jadeja bowling. And I tweeted about it. The efficacy of Ravindra Jadeja is that he holds that line from one end and he's not going to give you any runs. And then Ashwin is bowling from the other end and it becomes double jeopardy. And the batsmen are just not able to get out of it. So India missed that today. They missed Jadeja to put that pressure. But even then, the scoring rate was not too high, but Joe Root, he looked so comfortable. What a class batsman. He's just, it's like he had an extended net session in Gaul and he's just hopped over and continued batting in the same way.
It's very noticeable for England fans that, you know, there's a couple of things that have changed about the way he's played. There's a little tap of the bat on the ground, which is a new thing that's come in. He said that lockdown and the coronavirus crisis has actually helped his game, because he wasn't playing any cricket after September. He was able to really break it down, look at the things he wasn't happy with, both temperamentally and technique-wise. And it's really, really shown. Another thing that was visible today was actually Dom Sibley. In the first few innings he played in Sri Lanka, he looked all at sea against the spinner. He couldn't buy a run. His weight didn't go back and it didn't come forward. It stayed stuck on the crease. And here, I mean, there's an interesting graphic towards the end of the first session that was shown on the television, and it showed Sibley's strike points against the spinner, and they were very deep when the ball was ever so slightly short, and they were very far forward when it was ever so slightly full, which is exactly where you want to be. Now, that wasn't where he was at the start of the series against Sri Lanka. So he's obviously really taken time to look at his technique. And I think having someone like Joe Root in your side, who is an exceptional player of spin, I mean, he's one of the best in the world at playing spin. So you've got somebody you can look at, you can talk to about it, and you can make those adjustments. What I would ask you, though, is we were surprised in the cricket social, the BBC was doing the cricket social during this test series, and we were surprised at the selection, and it was, I think, perhaps a selection of Sundar more, in a way, than Nadeem, because we understood the need to find somebody who can turn the ball away from the right-hander. You don't want just ball after ball after ball turning in the same direction. But the thing for Washington Sundar is he's seen very much over here as an IPL player. He's not, as you said, played a lot of first-class cricket. Hasn't played, has he?
No. 17 in India. No, yeah. He's not played a lot of first-class cricket, like you mentioned yesterday, and we spoke about it. It's been 2.5 to 3 years since he last played first-class cricket, not counting the Brisbane Test. I'll tell you what's happened there. They probably want to go in with Akshar Patel and Kuldeep Yadav, because Akshar Patel can bat a bit and Kuldeep Yadav can bat a bit. So you bring that batting quality to the side. But with Akshar Patel pulling out, if they played Kuldeep Yadav and Shahbaz Nadeem, that would weaken the batting. That would really weaken the batting. So they thought, okay, you know what? Let's go with Washington Sundar. That's what my understanding is. It could have been that they were always going to play Washington Sundar and as well as Akshar Patel. I'm there with you. No, Hardik is not up to speed in terms of his bowling prowess just yet, especially not in Test cricket. What they want is Hardik to be ready for the England Tour and the T20 World Cup. So that's how they're bringing him up slowly. He's in the Indian squad right now just to be there and, you know, just to come up to speed, really, and for the team management, because there's not a lot of cricket going on otherwise. And he probably wouldn't want to risk himself in domestic cricket at the moment. So, yeah, I think it was interesting. Now, and the question mark here is, if your top six Indian batsmen with Rishabh Pant at number 6 and Ashwin at 7 cannot do the job on that Chennai pitch, you know, and I would say that one because this is an extraordinarily flat track. If they can't do the job, you can't expect Washington Sundar to be doing the job at number 8. And so you need to play, okay, Ashwin at 7, then you need to play your 4 best bowlers. Have India, and that's my question mark for the day, have India play their remaining 4 best bowlers. Yes, Bumrah. Yes, Ishant. Is the 2 spinners, that's doubtful. If you really want a left-arm spinner, maybe you go with two. I thought on this pitch with the leg spin angle, what's the worst Kuldeep Yadav could have done? I mean, Washington Sundar's gone for 4.5 an over. Kuldeep Yadav, he probably would have gone for the same, but he might have, because it's the wrist spinner that we're talking about. He always, always, you know, probably gives you a wicket. He's always in contention for a wicket in terms of wrist spin. So, yeah, it's going to be a contentious issue. And like I said, Kuldeep Yadav, he's not had a great year and a half. So that's also going to be a big, big talking point.
The other thing I would say is that two of England's key batters in that top five are Burns and Stokes. So they're left-handers. So
yeah.
I thought that might bring Yadav into play as well, because he could turn the ball away from those left-handers. But for England, look, you know, it'll be a day they're very happy with. But we heard Joe Root at the end of that play say, more of the same, the job isn't even half done yet.
Absolutely. And we mentioned at the top, you know, England losing last time. And that was the theme of the last tour, really. England score 400 and India scores 600 or 700 and England end up losing by an innings. I'm not going to go to that particular extent. But again, it'll be very interesting to see what sort of total England finally, let's say they want to declare, if they're batting at 450, they'll be like, no, we want 500, we want 550, we want 600, which also does one thing, is eats up a lot of time, because it's just 263 runs that have come from the first day. And that's a major factor, only 263 runs on the first day. That's where we are at the end of day one. England, probably thinking tonight at where they want to finish. India probably wondering if they made a mistake not playing Kuldeep Yadav.
I think that's the perfect summation. Tomorrow is going to be very interesting. Can England break that pattern from the last time and actually bat again for basically the better part of the whole day, if not the whole day itself? Or will India make inroads with Bumrah? The ball's only 10 overs old, 9.5 overs old. So early morning, maybe it's a little bit more, you know, bowlers a bit more refreshed. That first hour or two, we always say it, are going to be key. But we're going to see whether we get the repeated pattern or whether England have just managed to find that extra gear that they didn't have 4 years ago.
Right. Join us tomorrow, day two, post stumps for another summation of for the first test between India and England from Chennai. This is me, Chetan Narula, and Daniel Locross from London, signing off.